Welcome to the First Baptist Barberville Weekly Sermon Podcast. At FBC Barberville, our mission is to gather, grow, give, and go. Join us for live worship on the Court Square in Barberville, Kentucky, or to learn more about our church, visit fbcbarberville.com. Here is Pastor Tyler Shields.
You know, I almost told you to kiss some hands and shake some babies. If I ever do that, don't listen to that. I get my words mixed up every now and then. I can't hear you. But thank you for paying attention and doing the right thing. I can't believe today is the last day of 2023. Anybody else feel that? It seems like this has been it's went by quick, but man, this has been a packed year. One thing I like to do is at the end of every year, I kind of like to just sit down and reflect back over the course of the year, because if you're like me, you forget a lot of things that happen. And one of the things I really encourage everybody to do, I like to sit down and think not on the bad stuff, but look back at all the wonderful things that God's done over the past year, because those blessings, when we don't take the time to stop and count those blessings, we do forget them. And I was just thinking about our church this year, the things that God's done just through our church, not even through the families of our church, but we closed out the year baptizing right around 30 people this year, which is good. It's still trending up, and we want to far exceed that. We had right around 100 people in D groups throughout the year, so that's right around 100 people really getting into God's Word and reading the Word together. We invested more than, I think this is right, Tony, right, a little over $230,000 in missions in some form or fashion. That's pretty awesome, church, to put our money on the mission field. We had a Bible school this past year. Does anybody remember that? Well, you're getting ready to start hearing more about Bible school from Shane, I'm pretty sure. But we had over 200 kids come to Bible school this year and hear about the Lord, quite a few decisions out of that. We brought on two new Clear Creek interns this year. And this year, we also developed and approved a 10-year strategic plan for our church. It's really been a big year. And I'm excited about the future, looking forward to 2024 and what the Lord has in store for us as a church. This morning, we find ourselves in a passage of Scripture that also looks into the future, and it too is very exciting. It's something to be looking forward to, and even in regards to the Word, it's neat to look back this year at where we've come from. You know, we started out this year, literally almost a year ago, in Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to finish up this morning in Revelation chapter 21, almost cover to cover, preaching through God's Word and going through God's Word together this year. So much of Revelation, we were there last week, but again, much of it's, if you're reading through it right now, you realize it's tough to understand, right? And there's some reasons for that. One, the genre is difficult for us to understand. Two, John is writing to us using symbols and painting pictures for us that's hard for us to grasp. But I think also some of Revelation refers to future things, and it's hard to wrap your mind around things that have yet to happen. It's easy to look back and say, wow, look, God did this, and here's what people did. But looking forward, it's a little bit more murky, right? And so that's where we find ourselves this morning. And so the big idea for the book of Revelation, the so what, if you will, is the end, right? It's how this story ends. The end of the story of humanity, the end of good versus evil. It's already been written down. God told John, write this down. These words are faithful and true. And so for us, in the meantime, we're just, I hope, eagerly waiting for all of these things to unfold. But the good news about this whole story is that when history finally does come to an end, our God wins. He reigns forever and ever. The devil loses, and all of those people that are on God's side, we literally get to live happily ever after. All right, so there's a lot that takes place between now and then, but notice what John says. Turn to Revelation 21, starting in verse 1. And John says this, he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Most people love new things. Now, there are some people that absolutely despise anything new, and that's okay. Some people are like that. I get it. But most people appreciate new things, right? We like the smell of new carpet. We like new cars. We like nice new things because they are nice, and it's part of our nature to like these new, exciting things. And I remember as a kid when I'd get something new, like a new toy, the old timers would always say, "Well, you'll like it till the new wears off," right? And what they were saying, there's actually a lot of wisdom in that. You'll appreciate it more until you get used to it being around, and you won't appreciate it the way you did when you first got it. John talks about how God is going to make literally everything new. And what's really cool about what John's talking about is that the new's never going to wear off. It's going to be perfect forever and ever and ever in this time that we call the eternal state, where we're in eternity with the Lord forever. John also points out the opposite is going to be true for those that don't follow Christ, right? Their fate is going to be absolutely terrible. But for us, I want us to know, church, that our future, and I've said it before, but it's something to look forward to. The return of Christ, the end of this world, the end of this age is not something to dread or be afraid of. It's something that we should long for every single day and pray that God brings it even quicker, because it's worth getting there just as soon as we can. It's something to look forward to. God made, if you remember, almost a year ago, we talked about how God made a perfect creation in the beginning. And then very quickly, just a couple chapters later, we read about how we, people, ruin God's perfect creation by our sin. And not only do we ruin creation, but we ruined ourselves. We ruined our lives because of our sinfulness. But thankfully, and we're reminded of the song we sang in our whole theme this morning about new things. Thankfully, our God is a God who's able to take even the ugliest sinner and turn them into something new, something brand new, a brand new creation. Likewise, we read about here, one day, God's going to take all of this old creation, this old earth, this old way of living, and he's going to recreate it into something brand spanking new. So let's talk about what John's saying here. First of all, we realize it will be a new creation. Notice there's three primary things John says that God makes new. He said there will be a new heaven, there will be a new earth. And so in a sense, the end of time is very similar to the beginning of time, where in the beginning, the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. And one day, I think that day is closer than it ever has been, the first heaven and the first earth that God made originally, they're going to, as John says, pass away. They're going to be no more. And he says God will make a new heaven and a new earth. But he also says the third thing is God's going to make a brand new city, almost like a new capital for God's new creation. You think about it, in the beginning, God created a garden for man to dwell in and be with God. In the future, he's going to make a new city, a new Jerusalem for man to dwell with God. This whole concept, folks, of God taking the old and making the new, it's not a new idea once you get to Revelation. It's not even original to the Apostle John. I believe, and I think we've said this before, you can't read the New Testament, and you can't even read the book of Revelation and understand it properly apart from the Old Testament. That's why this year we read those together, the whole Bible. So what John's talking about in these first couple of verses, I believe, is a direct fulfillment of some words the prophet Isaiah wrote down nearly 3,000 years ago. Let me read a couple of these to you. In Isaiah chapter 65, God says, "For I will create new heavens and a new earth. The past events, thank God for this, will not be remembered nor come to mind. Then be glad and rejoice forever in what I'm creating, for I will create Jerusalem to be a joy and its people to be a light." And so again, this time that we're reading about here, that we're talking about, this is something we should be looking forward to. I know we often, you get on the internet and you got these preachers preaching about the end of time. Man, and I was a kid, it used to just scare me to death. And sometimes it still does. They're good. But at the end of the world, it's not something to fear. It's not something we need to be afraid of. And I know it's going to get better before, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But folks, we have to go through all of that in order to get to this point that we're reading about this morning, where God makes everything brand new. You don't have to look far to be reminded that this world's falling apart. Really, this whole world's been falling apart since we sinned against God in the beginning, right? All of creation from that moment forward has just been in upheaval. And the Bible says it's just been groaning for that day when God finally makes all things new. And I just was looking at some headlines throughout from this past year, and I was reminded of just how many lives creation has taken this year. Not talking about wars and even sickness, but just creation itself, natural things taking people's lives. Y'all remember that not so long ago, there was those deadly wildfires in Hawaii that just burned people to death. There were floods and hurricanes and cyclones, not just here, but all over the world this year, that killed hundreds and hundreds of people. There was the Nepali earthquake that killed hundreds of people. There were also major earthquakes in Afghanistan, Morocco, remember Turkey and Syria, that literally killed tens of thousands of people. This world is just in upheaval because of the fallen state, which was brought on by our sin. But thankfully, there's going to be a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem that the Bible says will not be like that. This crumbling world, it's going to pass away. Yes, but our God will make a brand new creation. I think it'll be perfect, just like this one originally was, perhaps even better. Secondly, this new creation, it will have a new order. Things aren't going to be the same. Life's not going to be the same as it is right now. Not only will everything be new and perfect, but the way of life is going to be drastically different when we get to this point of history. John says, first of all, God will dwell with humanity, that they will be his people and he will be her God. And folks, when you're living with God, things are different. Now, I know that we can live here in the presence of the Lord as Christians, but this, when you're literally living day after day with God himself, things are different. And I believe this is exactly what God has always wanted. God has always wanted to dwell with his people, to live with his people, to have close communion with his people. But we sinned against God in the garden, and before that, what do we read about? We read about Adam, and I just picture this in my mind. The Bible talks about Adam walking daily with the Lord in the garden, just walking and talking with his Maker. But because of our sin, God then, throughout Scripture, which we've read this year, had to teach sinful people how to live in the presence of a holy God. And yes, Christ has now given us access to the Father, but still, it's not the same as it's going to be when God lives with us face to face. Notice what John says living with God is like. He says, when you live with God, God himself will come and he's going to wipe away every tear from your eye. Because of our sin and the fallen state of this world, life can be very hard. And a lot of us were reminded of that over the holidays, which is an exceptionally difficult time for a lot of families and a lot of people. Some of you are going to be glad when the clock strikes midnight tonight and you get to see 2023 go on out the door, right? Some of you have suffered loss this year. Some of you have experienced pain and sickness and hardship. But thank God there's coming a day, folks, when He's going to walk up to you. And He's going to say, child, I know that past life was tough, but let me wipe those tears from your eyes. You don't have to cry anymore. You don't have to cry because John says there's not anything to cry about. He says there's going to be no more death, no more grief, no more pain. He says all of the previous things, that old order of hardship and heartache, is going to pass away. Isaiah also talks about this, the same chapter. He says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. He says the sound of weeping and crying will no longer be heard in her. In her, a nursing infant will no longer live only a few days, or an old man will not live out his days. Indeed, the one who dies at 100 years old will be mourned as a young man, and the one who misses 100 years will be considered cursed. People will build houses and live in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and others live in them. They will not plant and others eat. For my people's lives will be like the lifetime of a tree. My chosen ones will fully enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor without success or bear children destined for disaster. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord along with their descendants. Even before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like cattle, but the serpent's food will be dust. They will not do what is evil or destroy on my entire holy mountain, says the Lord. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful time to live? My family was reminded of the sting of death just this past week. We laid my grandmother to rest this past week, and I'm so thankful for you ladies and the church that provided the meal. We provide a lot of meals to a lot of families on the day of their funeral, and I so appreciate you all providing food for my family. It means a lot. But Granny went home to be with the Lord on Christmas Day. And on the one hand, we were so glad for her. She'd earned it. She'd suffered enough, and it was time for her to go home and be with Papaw and be with the Lord. But even if you're glad to see them go, and I mean that in the nicest way, that sting of death is always present. It still hurts, right? You still miss your loved one, and it's always tough watching them deal with sickness and watching them suffer. I mean, I hate, how many have been sick the past couple months? I bet every person in here has had some kind of, I hate sickness. It's miserable. But can you imagine, just for a moment, can you imagine a world where there's no more of that? Where there's people don't get sick, people don't get sick and die, a world where there's no more cancer, there's no more dementia and Alzheimer's, parents don't have to bury their children, old people don't outlive their friends. There's going to be a new way of things when we get into this new creation, a new order in God's new world that is completely devoid of all of the pain and the suffering that we've endured in this life. And I think that's something to look forward to. Matter of fact, I can't wait. I wish Jesus would come back today and make it all happen. But as good as that is, there's still more to look forward to. Reminds me of the wise men. I was reading about the wise men back at Christmas, and they come and they're bearing gifts to the Lord, and the first one comes and says, Lord, we've brought you gifts of gold. The second says, Lord, we've brought you gifts of frankincense. And the third says, but wait, there's myrrh. Well, there's myrrh waiting for us in God's new creation. Thirdly, Dad, you can take that one home with you, okay? We'll also receive a new inheritance. God tells John, write these things down. He says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Thus, I know how this story ends. Write it down. And when the end comes, he says, those who conquer, some translations say, those who overcome are going to receive their inheritance from the Lord. God says, not only will I be their God, but he's going to be my son. You see, being a child of God means that we have this inheritance that we were going to receive from our Heavenly Father. Now, folks, we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it, but because we're His child, we're in His will. John goes on to talk about in the verses following the ones we're in this morning, this grand estate that we get to be part of. He talks about how its walls are made of jasper, how its streets are paved with gold, how its gates are made of pearl. And he talks about how it doesn't have lights. It doesn't need lights because the glory of God illuminates this place and gives it light. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful place? John says those gates will never close because it's never nighttime. It's a safe place. It's a peaceful place. There's no sin in this place. There's no effects of sin. So there's no sickness, no death, no sorrow. It's truly a wonderful place to be. But John also says there are people there. He says the bride of Christ is there. And so not only do you get to live in and inherit this beautiful place that we call heaven, John says you also get to be reunited with those saints that you've missed all these years. All of those who it seemed like death has stolen them away in this life. Parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, maybe children and friends and loved ones. The death that took them from you in this life will be defeated forever, and you'll get to spend time with them together in the presence of God himself forever and ever and ever. Can you imagine the reunions that are going to take place? But perhaps the best thing about heaven is none of that, but it's getting to be with our Savior, getting to be with King Jesus, to walk with him, to talk with him, to worship him. Worship him right at, you can get right down at his feet and worship him. To fellowship with him and just be in his presence for all of eternity. And just enjoy it and enjoy him. But there's one more thing, folks, and we can't leave this out. If there's one thing bad to say about heaven, if that's even permissible, it'd be this. It's what John brings up. It's the fact, the hard truth, that not everybody's going to be there. There's going to be a new creation, yes. It's going to be so different, so wonderful. We're going to have this inheritance. We'll be reunited with loved ones who are in Christ, in the presence of the Lord. But the Bible says if you haven't been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you're not there. And so the final thing, there will be a new punishment. Notice verse 8 one more time. John lays all this out and he says, But the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars is in that list. Their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. I believe that every chance and every opportunity will be given to people. But for whatever reason, there are going to be those who refuse to turn to God and trust in Christ. For that choice, the Bible is abundantly clear that their inheritance is much different than ours. They're going to experience the complete opposite of everything that God has in store for and has prepared for his children. They're going to experience not just death, but what the Bible calls a second death. They're going to be thrown into the torment of this lake of fire that the Bible says burns forever and ever. It never goes out. Even Isaiah talks about this too, folks. Isaiah talks about God's people in the end. He just paints this beautiful picture of all of God's people coming to the holy city to worship God. But then he says they look over like out of the corner of their eye, and what do they see? He says they see all of those who rebelled against God in that place where he says the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. Jesus himself called this place the eternal fire and the eternal punishment prepared for the devil and his angels. John goes on to add, if you yourself, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's where you're going to be too. And so this new creation, folks, what it really boils down to for us is a choice. We have the choice to go there or not. You choose Jesus or you don't. You choose heaven or you choose hell. The choice is yours to make. And I want to make that abundantly clear this morning, because heaven and hell are both very, very real places. It's a reality that we all have to face. And God said, write this down. These words are faithful and true, because this is going to happen. Eternity's coming. And where you end up for eternity is entirely your choice. I can't make that choice for you. I can't pray you into heaven. It doesn't matter about what your mom and dad did. It doesn't matter on life circumstances or how much you think life has just hurt you and you're mad at God, whatever. It doesn't matter. There's no amount of bartering you can do with the Lord. You can't hope to stand before God and list out all these good deeds and just hope that, yeah, you deserve to go into heaven, because you don't. And I don't. You're either going to go through Jesus or you're not going to go. But I promise you this, and I'll leave you guys with this morning. If you choose Jesus, what you're going to find is that he's so worth so much more than the promise of heaven. Jesus is worth more than those streets of gold. He's worth more than even the absence of sickness and sorrow and death. He's worth even, it's hard to believe, I know, in this life, but Jesus is worth more than even the promise of seeing those loved ones that you miss. And if you choose him, though, he says, I'll give you all of that and so much more. Let's stand together as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we look so forward to what the future holds. Lord, if you delay your coming this year, let us be faithful in 2024. God, let us be closer to you than we've ever been. Let us do more for your kingdom than we've ever done. But Lord, we do hope you come back soon. God, we thank you for life. Thank you for all the incredible blessings that you've given us. But Lord, when we read about home, our hearts get homesick. And God, this morning, if there's someone here, there's someone listening online, that this reality has hit them hard, and they're not ready for eternity, God, I pray you'd save them today. Give them that measure of faith that it takes to accept Jesus this morning. God, we love you. We thank you for walking with us through this year. Thank you for your steadfastness and your faithfulness. And God, thank you that you're going to be with us through the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we sing a song of invitation this morning. If you need to come and pray, or there's a decision that you need to make, why don't you come and spend a little time at this altar talking to God this morning as we sing.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Sermon Podcast. Please subscribe, but also join us live in person on the Court Square in Barberville, or find us on YouTube by searching FBC Barberville, on Instagram at @First_Baptist_Barberville, on Twitter at @BarbervilleFBC, or on our Facebook page, First Baptist Barberville.